The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
A couple of times a year, you'll hear that I will give a message entirely devoted to that which is the local church. I believe in the local church. I believe it's the only institution that our Lord Jesus established on his earthly ministry. And I believe that it is used of God today to be able to bring a world the gospel. And for so many reasons, I'll give you this morning. So let's go back to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. Go to book of Hebrews, chapter 10. If you can give me just a little bit more sound, either here or here, that helped me a little bit there. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, the Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the matter of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And I want to speak to you this morning on why I love the church, why I love the church. David testified in Psalm 84 and in verse 10, and this is the testimony of David. He said, for a day in thy courts, a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. Now watch what it says here. And I'd rather be the doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. So he said, I'd rather have one day and doing something that we might even consider in a very non-important duty. Be a doorkeeper, just to open the door. Not talking about a Sunday school teacher. Not talking about somebody that would get up and sing a special. Not talking about somebody that would get up and preach a truth. Not talking about somebody, if you would please, that would play in an orchestra. Not talking about someone that would do something that we might consider of a greater importance. But yet David said this. He said, I would rather be a doorkeeper. Now, a doorkeeper is somebody serving. So he said, I would rather serve in a capacity that's not necessarily in the limelight. But he said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell, in other words, to live in that which is the tents of wickedness. Now, we see by that very statement there that church, or if you would please, the gathering of God's people together was very important to David. You know, some people say, well, I don't want to go to church because the church is full of hypocrites. Yet that very same type of person still goes to Walmart, and Walmart is full of hypocrites. Somebody says, well, you know, I tell you what, I don't want to go to church because after all, not everybody is right in church. And that's one of the reasons we ought to come to church, because church is like a hospital. We run buses and they're like ambulances. And we go out and we reach those that are hurting and those that need to be healed and need to be helped. And we bring them in to a place so that the Word of God can do surgery on them. By the way, listen to me carefully. Nobody in our church is better than somebody else. It is all equal at the cross. If you're here today and you say, well, I tell you what, I'm in church and I see a couple of people in suits and I see ladies in dresses and I hear the music and the music is just absolutely fantastic. And I'm in a place where it just seems like I don't fit. Don't let the devil fool you. Okay? Everybody is welcome at Parkside Baptist Church. And everybody is equal, if you would please, in that which is Jesus Christ, and He is the great equalizer. We all get saved by grace through faith. You don't get saved by works. You get saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. But some people say, I don't want to go to church because, after all, there's hypocrites there. Some people say, well, the church has simply become an organized social program. Well, I don't want to go to church because, after all, church no longer portrays that which is a true image of Jesus Christ. We live in a day that in our Western civilization, it seems like church attendance is at an all-time low. It seems like that fewer and fewer churches are standing for that which is right, and many, many churches are going out of business. But can I tell you, that does not negate the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord. And it does not negate the fact that church ought to be important in everybody's life. I've been in churches where they don't have soul winning. They have just an enamored type of visitational program. And they practice, you come see us and we'll go see you. And that's about the extent of it. I've seen churches that are like the church at Ephesus, if you will, that has lost their first love. I've seen churches that's like the church of Sardis, where there's a deadness and God calls them on the carpet. I've seen churches, if you will, that are like the church at Laodicea, and they're lukewarm, and they don't want to do much for Jesus Christ. But all those things being said, and several of those purposely being said that is negative, I still love the church. And I'm going to show you why it's important to love the church. I'm going to show you, now that I've said some things that are a little bit negative, I want to show you some very positive things about the church. What is the church? The church is comprised of born-again, baptized believers. The church is not the church building. There's people that have church today, and they're meeting underneath coconut trees. There are people that's having church today, and they're meeting out there underneath tents. There are people that have church today, and they don't have a nice facility like God has blessed us because of your sacrificial giving so that we could have what we have here at Parkside Baptist Church. But they're still church. They're still church. I've helped to start many, many churches in the Southeast Asia area. And can I tell you, when these fellas partner and we help to get a church going, they don't have nice facilities and they're meeting outside and they just have just something that is over top of them like a tent covering. And that's where they start, with just a little plot of ground. But then after a period of time, it begins to grow and they begin to put a structure on the property. And after a period of time, they begin to expand that structure. And before you know it, God is blessing in a wonderful way. Why? Because God blesses the church. Now, why is it that you and I ought to have a love for the church? Let me give you a couple of statements. Statement number one, because it's a place that God loves. It's a place that God loves. Listen to it. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives. Listen to it now. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, wait a minute. I ought to align myself with what God loves. If God loves something, then I ought to love it. If God hates something, then I ought to have the major influence in my life to be able to direct me in the right direction as to what I do and where I do it. And so we understand this. It's a place that God loves. He said that even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So statement number one, it's a place that God loves. Statement number two, it's a place of worship. Now understand that worship comes from the heart. But also understand this, that when you worship from the heart, then he will direct your heading. When true worship is done from the heart, then it directs your actions. It leads your actions. So if a person is worshiping God in their personal life, then that is going to spill over to an assembly whereby they come together and this person's worshiped God separately and this person has worshiped God separately and this person has worshiped God separately. And we walk with God during the day so much and out through the week so much that it spills over to the point that we just can't wait to come together. We can't wait to come together and hear old-fashioned preaching. And we can't wait to come together and hear a godly type of singing. And we can't wait to come together and see our brother and sister in Christ. And we can't wait to come together to the assembly to see how so-and-so is doing that we prayed for throughout the week. All right? So it's a place that God loves. It's a place of worship. Over in Psalm 5 and in verse 7, the Bible says, "And as for me, I will come into the house in a multitude of thy mercy, and thy fear will I worship toward the holy temple." All right? And so it's a place that we can come together and be able to say, hey, we're in agreement. We're in agreement. You walked with God this week, and boy, your heart became more and more tender. And you walked with God this week, and your heart became more and more tender. And you walked with God this week, and walked with God this week, and hearts became more and more tender. And boy, as we read the Bible, God began to speak to our heart. As we heard a sermon, God began to speak to our heart. And now we come to church, and we say, I just want more. I just want more. Just give me more. See, there's a craving there. to be able to grow and to be able to help other people to grow. So statement number one, it's a place that God loves. Statement number two, it's a place of worship. Statement number three, it's a place of preaching and teaching. A place of preaching and teaching. It's a preaching station. It's a teaching station. Oh, over in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, the Bible says, but if I tarry long, and this is Paul talking to young Timothy here, he said, but if I tarry long, it says that thou mayest know that how thou oughtest to behave in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. All right? So it's a place where you can have truth given to you. It's a place where there is preaching and teaching, and a man of God would get up, or somebody in a Sunday school class would get up, and they would begin to teach you how to behave yourself in that which is the house of God. And what that means is the way that we conduct ourselves. All right? And so it's a place where we can learn. How do we learn? We learn through the teaching. How do we learn? We learn through the preaching. And that is done, the Bible mentions here, at the church. Now, I thank God for evangelists that preach on the television, or they preach on the radio station, but don't let that become a substitute for church. I thank God for people that go out and they do things, but don't let that become a substitute for that which is the church. Okay, all right, and so it's a place that God loves. It's a place of worship. It's a place of preaching and teaching. It's a place where God's people can gather. Now, there's nothing like the people of God. There's nothing like it. I mean, it's a place where the people of God can come together. And you have things in common. We here today that have received Jesus Christ as Savior, our common is Jesus Christ. It's because of the blood of Christ that we have eternal life through that which is receiving Christ as Savior. And because of that, there's common ground. We can fellowship over that. Well, you know, our pointage, our direction, our goal, our life's fulfillment is found in Christ. Now, by the way, you can't find that down at the movie house. You can't find that on the golf turf. You can't find that because you sign up for Little League. You can't find that because you go out to some type of lodge. But you can find that in the church.
Amen.
Now, by the way, you'll find this out in the church, that people are not perfect in the church. I think sometimes people try to get to know people. Now, don't get mad at me when I say this, but I think sometimes people try to get to know people too deeply. And then you become disappointed. You know, can I tell you, you ought to get to know the Lord deeply. And you ought to be friends with everybody and be kind with everybody. I mean, you ought to go around and in church shake hands and thank people for coming and just continue to shake their hand and thank them for coming and smile at people and be excited about people being here and stuff like that. But can I tell you, if nobody shakes your hand, it's okay. You know, somebody says this, well, I tell you, you know, preacher, you know, nobody shook my hand, and I just don't think it's a friendly church. Well, the Bible says, and I hate to give you a Bible on this, but the Bible does say, he that hath friends must show himself friendly. So it's not their fault that you're unfriendly. You know, so you have to be the one that's friendly. Come on. So God turns that around and he puts it back in your court.
Yes.
So oftentimes I tell you for sure, you know, so oftentimes we look around and we say, well, it's their fault and 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 it's their fault. But more often than what that is, we ought to decide that it's our fault. We ought to decide that we are the ones that ought to be friendly. We ought to decide we extend the hand. We encourage. Now, wait a minute. Here's what it talks about here. It's a place where God's people is coming together. Over in Psalm 55, in verse 14, the Bible says, we took sweet counsel together and walked onto the house of God. Listen to it now. In company. In company. There's just something about walking in company. There's something about being in a group. Being able to go forward in a group. There's something about that. There's something about a church coming together, and I thank God that we have good amounts of people that come to our church. But now watch this, if you will. There's just something about it not being lonely. You know, I know that a person can be in a crowd and be lonely. Hello? But there has to be something that you do to change that. You do to change that. See, church ought to be a place where you can come and you can enjoy each other's company. I mean, it's just a wonderful place to be and be able to extend yourself. Now, I realize this. In the last 20 years, here's what I've seen in America. America has become a place where people live in their isolated capsules. Now, can I tell you, it wasn't that way when I grew up. I mean, I would get together with young people that was my age, and we'd go off to a ball game together. I mean, we'd go out, we'd have fun together. I mean, you know, we'd get together, we'd go do stuff. I mean, from rodeoing to shooting guns to, you know, archery to playing tennis to bike riding to all sorts of stuff. But it seems like that in our generation, people are afraid to get to know other people. They come to church and they sit by themselves. They get up and they leave by themselves. I mean, you know, it's like, wow, you know, I don't want to talk to so-and-so because they might not like me. You don't know if they're going to like you until you talk to them. You know, but we live in a generation. I don't know why it is. I'm trying to figure out right now, even in our church, what can I do? And I'm talking with the staff and different ones. What can I do to create times of fellowship more? What can I do? How is it that I, as a pastor, can establish something more so that the people that sit on this side of the auditorium can get to know the people that sit on this side of the auditorium? Now, we do all sorts of stuff with the church collectively. Tonight, they're going to have a social activity after church. And by the way, if you come tonight, you'll enjoy cupcakes or whatever they said. I don't know. But you'll enjoy each other's company and being able to enjoy each other. Being able to sit beside somebody that's different than you are. You say, I don't want to do that. Take the challenge. Take the challenge. You say, well, they might not smell the way that I smell. And in some cases, you ought to thank God for that. But take the challenge, you know. But I'm telling you, in our country right now, there are people that just simply do not want to reach out and get to know other people. Can I tell you? Somebody comes and they, and I'm not, I like sitting in the balcony, by the way, so I'm not hitting you. But I like the balcony. I think it's a neat place. And I've sat up there once or twice. And after I got my nosebleed done, I was okay. But now, if you come and you do sit in the balcony, let me help you way up there. It is tempting to leave as soon as church is over and not get to know some of these folk down here. Oh, wait a minute. Did you know that during handshaking time, some of the folks down here, you know what you ought to do from time to time? Just venture up on the balcony. Shake somebody's hand in the balcony. Introduce yourself. You say, preacher, that's going to take energy to climb those steps. I've seen your body. I know my body. We need more exercise instead of less. Amen. You know, climbing those steps might add another day to your life. But if we're not careful, here's what we do. We isolate ourselves. You know, we don't want to be around people. We want to come to church and we want to stay in our own little area. And a preacher, you preach to me, but then after church, don't get near me. Don't shake my hand. I'm in a hurry. And most people are in a hurry to do what? They're going to go home and they're going to take their Baptist nap on a Sunday afternoon. I mean, you know, in a hurry to do what? Hey, look, I'm saying, look, come to church, enjoy getting to know other people around you. Come to church and spend time with people. Come to church and shake somebody's hand that you've never shaken before. Come to church and smile at somebody. You said, well, if I smile at somebody, they might think that I'm wanting their money or something. Don't worry about that. They don't have any money. But I'm saying this. I'm saying that we have to understand it's a place where God's people can come together. You can come together and enjoy each other's company. Come on. You know, these brothers and sisters and the Lord, they get up and they sing these songs. You know, there's nothing wrong with going up to them after church and saying, you know, you did a great job. Thank you so much for that. Hey, when the pastor preaches a message and he makes it all the way through without mispronouncing a word, go up to him and say, preacher, you made it. You made it. That was one message you preached all the way through and you didn't pronounce, didn't pronounce one word right. That's true, isn't it? And you didn't mispronounce one word. And woo, preacher, I'm so proud. All right. Hey, I'm not going to say, boy, that hurt my feelings. I'm going to say, wow, thanks for paying attention. You know, I think we have to take the facade down. You know, I'm telling you, if you're not careful, church can become just way too rigid. I mean, you know, we walk in like robots. We have places that we sit. We sit down there. It's a normal place every Sunday. It's got your curvature now in the pew. I mean, it's right there, you know. I mean, you're grooved in now. You fit. Matter of fact, if you scoot a little bit to the right or a little bit to the left, you'll find your groove and you fit. You know? And I mean, you know, and we talk to the same people all the time. Or we sit and we complain. We say, well, you know, nobody's friendly at that church. You're the one sitting by yourself. If you want friends, you have to take it upon yourself. You know, go to somebody else and say, hey, look, would you sit beside me? And if they say no, and then you go to somebody else and they say no, and you go to somebody else and they say no, and you go to somebody else and they say no, and you go to somebody else and they say no, then check out your underarm deodorant. But I doubt if everybody's going to say no. You know, I'm amazed, I really am. We have the privilege to know our neighbors just because of the fact we're friendly to our neighbors. The other day, I found out my neighbor lives to the left of me as you come into my house. You know, he lives to the left of me. It's a young couple, and I found out they like hot stuff. And so I had some popcorn. I took it over, and I said, hey, I heard, do you like hot popcorn? Oh, he said, man, I love hot popcorn. You know, and I said, well, I've got some hot popcorn for you. I just wanted to share it. And the other day, his wife's car wouldn't start, and so she came knocking on the door about 6:30 in the morning or so and said, hey, could you come over and help me get my car started? I said, absolutely. And we're friends. I think neighbors ought to be friends. A dear lady that living right next to us, and the older couple that lives across the street from us. Man, you know, we've been in her house many times. You know, friends. Now I'm saying you have to extend yourself. You know, to come to the house of God, it's a place where we can gather together. But can I encourage you this morning? Shake somebody's hand. Talk to somebody. Encourage somebody. You know, there shouldn't be a child of God in the house that doesn't have somebody that says, I appreciate you. Thank you so much for coming. And you say, well, nobody's doing that to me. You're missing it. You're the one supposed to do that. Amen. You're the one supposed to extend the blessing. All right, statement number one. It's a place that God loves. It's a place of worship. Statement number two. It's a place of preaching and teaching. Statement number three. It's a place where God's people gather. Statement number four. It's a place where sinners are brought to that which is the love of the Bible. You know, one thing about Parkside Baptist Church is we love the Bible. Wait a minute. Over in Luke chapter 14 and verse 23, the Bible says, and the Lord said unto the servant, he says, go out into the hedges, go out into the highways, into the hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. So he said, I want the house filled. Now, I'm a pastor, but long before I was a pastor, I was an evangelist. And before that, I pastored, and before that, for 10 years, I was an assistant pastor. But right out of high school, I didn't know what God wanted me to do. I had no idea what God wanted me to do, but I was open. My dad had an electrical company called Wells Electric and operated that. My brother, until he died, up in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, had the Wells Electric Company. And so most of my family were hard workers. And they gave it everything that they had. I grew up around a family that knew how to work. And they structured their lives in working very hard, very diligent people. Now watch this, if you will. But when I received Jesus Christ as Savior, I went to church. Now at the church where I got, where I grew up in, St. Bartholomew's Catholic Church, it was so different from the Baptist church I went to. When I went to the Baptist church, they said, open the Bible. And I've never done that before, and because I didn't own a Bible. But when he said, open the Bible, I opened the Bible, and he read from the Bible. That was so amazing to me. I thought, I didn't even know you're supposed to do that. And he read from the Bible. And then he said, I encourage you to go home and read your Bible. I thought, ooh, we were told nobody's supposed to read the Bible. But I went home and I started to read the Bible. God started to speak to my heart. I got so excited. I started inviting my friends to come to church with me. I got so excited. I mean, I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. And then I started going over to that little Baptist church and where the pastor had just come there 6 months prior to me. And boy, I was just so excited. I mean, I got saved and God was changing something in my life. And I wanted my friends to know that. So I remember inviting Donald Piercy to church. And I remember inviting Wade Wagner to church and Jimmy Luckaball to church and Ron Chornego to church and Fred Stein to church, and these were my buddies that I ran with, and I remember inviting them to church, and we started going over and visiting the church together and stuff, and then I watched different ones of my friends receive Christ as Savior. I remember leading Wade Wagner to Christ in his barn there in Hampstead area, and I remember Ryan Chornego getting saved on his back porch, and I remember showing him how to be saved and him bowing his heart and receiving Christ. I remember Donald Piercy, two of the guys that got saved, ganged up on him and was able to lead Donald Piercy to Christ. And I remember Fred Stein and us talking together as we ran that one summer when we ran cross country together. I about died. And I remember running cross country with him and taking time and sitting down underneath an oak tree and showing him his need of Christ. And I watched my friends one by one by one by one receive Jesus Christ as Savior. And can I tell you, that word of God, when I walked in there, it was so different. And can I tell you, I invited my friends to come and join me because they were like I was. I mean, I came to church, I didn't know nothing. And I started coming and I started opening the Bible and seeing truths. And here's what Jesus did. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 10, the Bible says, and it came to pass that Jesus sat at meat in the house. And behold, many publicans and sinners, the Bible says, came and sat down with him and his disciples. And I found out that if I invited people to church that I could influence them. I didn't know much. But I could invite somebody to church. And when I invited them to church, it influenced them. And several received Christ later on. And I remember God changing their lives. And to this day, you know, some of them have very godly families and trying to live for the Lord. And can I tell you, it all made a difference because of church. Because of church. You know, and I watched that little bitty church that Dr. Smith began to pastor, and I watched it begin to grow. You know why? Because he was training people of how to reach other people, and people were caring about people, and they were coming in, and they were sitting down together. And I love this. I love this. A man came to our church just recently. He had more tattoos than he had skin. And he said this. He said, nobody looked down on me. Everybody's so friendly to me. He said, I'm just amazed. He said, I just feel like this is a place where God would have me to be. Well, isn't that neat? What a testimony. What a testimony. You understand this? You understand that this is a place where we can worship as far as being able to get close to God in our personal lives. This is a place where you can take and be in a place that God himself said, I love that place. This is a place in here teaching and preaching, a place where we can gather together as God's people. And this is a place where sinners and those that are saved can come. But then also, this is a place of evangelism. This is a place where we take gospel tracts and Bible tracts and we go out and we talk to a lost and dying world. And by the way, anybody can do that. That's not a difficult thing to do. But this is a place where we do instruct people of how to do that. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and in verse 8, the Bible says, in every place, your faith, it says, to God, word is spread abroad. And so these disciples, these ones that were following the Lord, they took their faith and they went everywhere. Statement number next, it's a place where you can receive comfort and joy. Comfort and joy. Psalm 122 and in verse 1, the Bible says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of God. He said, I was glad. I was glad. Now, by the way, if your joy is not where it should be, then I would look for different components that are missing to be able to give you that joy back. Look for things. Look for things. I'll do an evaluation. Is my prayer life the way it should be? Am I reading my Bible like I should be? Am I truly walking with God? Have I lost my joy for souls? Am I investing in people? Am I serving people? Am I fully surrendered? And I would ask questions that would help me to be able to go forward. Last statement. It's a place where you can find a filling station so whereby you can be filled with the truth. See, here's what he says, and I'll quit where I started. Over in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, the Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the matter of some is, but exhorting one another. Now, what does that mean, exhorting? That means encouraging with emphasis. Exhorting one another, lifting somebody up, helping them to see the importance of something. But exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching. So in church, what do? You exhort someone. You exhort someone. Brother Ben got up. He was in our college chapel, and he sang that song. And we were working out a new music schedule. Brother Palmore came into my office, and I told Brother Palmore, I said, you know what? I said, that Ben, boy, he sure did do just a crackerjack job on that song. I mean, that was just wonderful. I said, next time, and I didn't know he was going to sing this morning, but I said, next time he sings in church, I want him to sing that song. That's a wonderful song, just a powerful, powerful truth right there. And he puts himself in it, and he gives it everything he's got, and he's balanced, and boy, just a great, great song. I want him to sing that. Now, wait a minute. That's a young man. That's a young man. A young man giving what he has to Jesus Christ. Here's my question. What can you give? What can you give? What is it? I remember when I first started going to church, I knew nothing at all. Nothing. Nothing. I had a guy that was my social studies teacher that was in my high school. And we had the privilege to talk. And later on, he made a decision for Jesus Christ. And it was about dedication and stuff. Anyway, he came back to me and he said, you're excited about the Lord and stuff. He said, you know, maybe you ought to start a Bible club. Bible club. Now, you understand, I just got saved. As a new believer, I knew nothing at all. Zero. I mean, you ask me where Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John was, and I'd tell you, I don't know where they live. I have no idea who you're talking about. You know, I knew nothing. Not 18 years old, knew nothing. And so, but he said, why don't you consider starting a Bible club? You know, I was on track and field. I boxed a little bit and stuff like that. And I got the privilege of being in different leadership roles and stuff. And so he said, why don't you consider? And I said, well, I don't know what to do. And so we tried it anyway. I thought, well, if it means some of my friends coming to know Christ, we'll try it anyway. And so we just stepped out. Then at the very first one I had, I didn't want this to happen. Somebody raised their hand. They said, I have a Bible question. And I thought, why are you asking me? I don't know anything at all. And I forget how many we had. I knew it grew to about 70 or 80 by the time I graduated. And so I went to my pastor and some other people there at the church, and I said, I don't know how to answer this question. And so I learned from my daddy. My daddy was excellent about this. If my daddy didn't want to answer me, he would say this, I'll get back with you later. That was his padded answer. I will get back to you later. Now, most of the time, later never came. And so, this young man raised his hand and he said, "I have a Bible question." I said, "Ask me your question and I will get back with you later." So I wrote it down and I went to, I don't know if it was Dr. Smith at that time or somebody else. I know that he fielded a lot of questions for me that I had. And so, I remember writing it down and going back to the church. I just started 10. And I said, I got some people together and teach them the Bible. And I don't know what the answer to that is. Can you help me? And they gave me an answer. And the next time I met, that's what I taught on. Because I had it right there. Oh, it was so fun. And so they thought I knew the Bible very well. But the only problem with that is when I taught at the end, I said, "Let's pray," and somebody else, and sometimes two or three, or sometimes four or five, would raise their hand. "I got a question." And I said, "Okay, let me do this. Let me write it down. I'll get back with you. What's your question?" You know what God was doing to me? God was putting me in a position where I would grow quickly. Because some of these questions that these people had, I had too. I had too. You know how it is to go ask somebody a question and you're embarrassed? You know how it is? A new believer, not knowing much. Stand up, Brother Craig. I didn't want to go to my pastor and say, "You know what? Tell me what the Bible teaches about that." But it was so easy to go to my pastor or to go to somebody else there in church and say, in the Bible club this week, they have this question. Can you help me with that? It's so easy to get that third-party question answered. I felt good, and then I came back, and I was answering questions. And before you know it, then people started coming to me for counseling. I remember the first guy that came to me, it was thinking about committing suicide. I thought, "Oh, no, what have I gotten myself into?" And so here I am at lunch, and he comes up, and he sits beside me, and I'm just a senior in high school. I've only been saved 6 months. And this guy comes up to me, and he says, "I know you know the Bible real well." He said, "So I know if anybody could help me, you could." And I'm thinking, "Dear Lord, what in the world did I get myself into?" And he said, "I just want you to know that I've been thinking about committing suicide and da-da-da-da-da-da-da." And he's telling me all the problems he had and stuff like that. And I said, "Well, let me pray with you. And I'll get with you again tomorrow." I took that piece of paper. I immediately got in my car. As soon as I got out of school, I beelined it for the church. I shared it with a worker I could find and said, "What do I do?" And he said, "Well, here's some things you can share. Here's some things you can do." And man, I was learning so much. I mean, it was helping me. Now, why was it helping me so much? Because I was trying to help somebody else. Amen. See, in church, it's not about us. It's not about, okay, I tell you what, I've come here with all my problems and all my struggles. Many times you can get help in your own problems, in your own life, if you simply take your eyes off of yourself and start putting your eyes on someone else. And finding someone else that needs that help, that needs that love, that needs that forgiveness, that needs that strengthening, that needs that Bible teaching. And then all of a sudden, now you got something to live for. See, now you look forward to coming to church because you can't wait to see so-and-so because you know you're going to be a blessing to them. You can't wait to see so-and-so because you just know you can be a help to them. And it's because you're here that they're here. People most of the time just need somebody else to walk beside them. And church is a great place to find them.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.